You know, this past couple of weeks has been really hard throughout Washtenaw County with the failure of the millage, and a lot of schools are grappling with what they're going to do. We talked earlier this week with the superintendent of the Saline Schools, Scott Grayton. They are already making plans for how they are going to come to grips with less money this year and the possibility of cuts, and it's been very, very tough. But if we really think about it, what it really amounts to, money or not, is how do we teach these kids? And how do we get them excited? And how do we make them have a love for school and a love for learning? Well, one man in Ann Arbor says he knows exactly how. He has a company, a nonprofit called In-Depth Learning, all one word with a small I-N, In-Depth Learning. It's over on North Ashley in Ann Arbor, and he's live in studio with us today to talk about this. What are we going to do with our kids in the state of education today? And it's great to meet Reese Midgley of In-Depth Learning. You're such an interesting individual. First of all, you went to medical school.
Right, yeah, I went to medical school. Never would fit in quite right, but I wound up doing research most of the time. Wound up getting my boards in pathology, worked in research, particularly in the area of reproduction, developed probably the first radioimmunoassays in the reproductive field. Pregnancy tests. We probably had the first pregnancy test going. Should have patented this and a lot of other tests, but didn't. Back then, this wasn't what was done. And when I retired, I followed up on some work that my wife, who later died, Carol Midgley, was really well known in motivation and education. And I became interested in following up what this could do. And so that's what we've done in our subsequent years.
So you've been retired from the University of Michigan, right?
Correct.
All right. And so for the last, how many years have you done In-Depth Learning?
This has been since 2001. So this has been now 8+ years. Probably the hardest years of my life in terms of working. It's far harder and more work than ever was at the university.
So,
very interesting.
You got this passion, you think, from your late wife, Carol?
I think probably that's where it all started in, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about her.
She was an amazing woman who was interested in making making a difference for kids in school. And she was very much research-based as well, and she worked with a lot of the surrounding schools. I particularly remember a study she did in Rawsonville, where they went into one of the worst schools in the area. They were having all kinds of problems. Kids weren't attending class. They weren't interested. And so she went in there with a program and talked to the teachers, talked to the parents, talked to the kids, talked to the school board, and finally implemented a program. In the course of 2.5 years, I believe it was, I have a picture of the principal beaming with all the other teachers behind a big banner, Honor School, the state of Michigan.
Ah.
And what they did was to get rid of all of the competition, all of the honor roll issues, getting rid of the comparison of one with another, and instead working on kids, working with each other and enjoying each other and helping. And the kids began to love school, and they learned more, they gained more. And this was a school with more than 50% free lunch and so forth. So this was a serious gain. So I became interested that you could make a difference in education, and had some ideas, and some of our early ideas didn't pan out. We now think we've got something, which is really very good.
We're going to be talking about that something, but give everyone an idea of, for you it's pretty simple, I think, the difference between how schools teach today and how you think they should be teaching kids.
That's correct. Yeah, there's too much right now. Everything in schools right now seems to be predicated on the national programs of No Child Left Behind, and this means testing, and teachers are just inundated with tests, and it's constant testing and testing to the test and seeing how people are doing. And this doesn't give freedom for doing some of the things which are really far, far more important. What we're teaching today is not what the kids are going to need to know in a few years. They're using exams that are developed by the previous generations of educators, and they're doing things in school which are not what they're doing outside of school. They're having exciting times outside of school, and they come into school, sit in the classroom, and need to follow the rules and regulation in their desks and prepare for these tests.
Even
it's really
though,
boring.
Even though what they're doing outside of school presumably is with a lot of technology that
Correct.
We have out there today, aren't we doing the same kind of thing in school?
Technology is in schools, in most schools now. It's getting increasingly so. But the materials made available are very, very limited. And so schools are not able to have the kinds of programs that could make a difference. In part, because these are expensive. There's no question. The cost of developing a proper program that would make a difference online is costly. But on the other hand, the cost-benefit ratio can be huge. If we're talking about what our nation is going to do down the road, it needs to have educate our people. We need to have more innovation and creativity, and this is going to come from doing different things with our kids and getting them to realize that learning is a lifelong pursuit.
There are some teachers out there, some gems, some pearls that are in the sea of all the teachers that do get this, that tend to make their lesson plans creative and
oh yes,
and they understand this concept.
That's correct. They're just hamstrung in many cases, though, because they still have to teach these facts, because they're being tested on a whole series of facts and pieces of information that they must get. And so there's all of the history and all of the every fact they need to give. They line these all up, and they have to get them in the brains of these kids so the kids can parrot them back on the exams.
Are you advocating that we don't memorize facts and history and figures?
I'm not necessarily advocating that, but I think that we put an awful lot more emphasis and stress on memorization than is necessary. If we can think creatively and can analyze situations and problems, we can learn the facts as we need them. That's not a problem.
With the
internet right now, it's amazing the information you can get.
So that's right.
Memorizing information is no longer the importance it used to be.
That's a very good point.
I just remembered the things that I used to do were no longer doing in school. I've mentioned to you once, I think, something about I used to take a slide rule with me, and I had to do all these things manually, do my square roots manually,
right.
And all of these technologies, cursive writing was important, and now kids are spending most of their time typing at a keyboard,
right.
or using texting on their iPhones,
yeah.
or other kinds of smartphones or other cell phones, and this is a very different world. They do this outside, but they do very little of that inside school.
Yeah. Dr. Reese Midgley with us. He is with In-Depth Learning, a nonprofit here in Ann Arbor dedicated to expanding the way teens in particular learn using evidence-based reasoning. What is that?
Yeah, well, that's the heart and core of what we think is important. You know, we want to motivate kids to learn. We really want to teach kids to be able to identify important information, wherever that information is, whether it's in newspapers or on the radio or something there somebody told them. What is important information? How can they discern that? And they want them to organize that information and then to use it to solve problems that'll make a difference in their lives. You know, discovery is so exciting. We all love to discover something. And yet, that's what learning is all about. Learning is discovery. So why is it that school is not one of the most exciting possible places to be? It's not. And yet, it should be, because discovery is the key part. So thinking this through, we began drawing on the motivating power of gaming. And we have developed and pilot tested a new type of game that kids seem to love. In fact, many of the kids have spontaneously said it's awesome, and yet they're learning at the same time. And it's about the science behind drugs of abuse. But more important, it teaches what you brought up about thinking critically and using evidence-based reasoning and transferring what we've learned to other unrelated problems. This approach could be used with almost teaching almost anything, not just drugs of abuse. But this is where we're starting, because we've got a major grant to do this from the National Institutes of Health.
How'd you get that grant?
We've spent most of my life in research writing grants, so I'm used to writing grants. We've written this one, and we justified that we had some ideas that would make a difference, and the reviewers all complimented us on the idea. And it has panned out since. It's really working well.
Now,
we're now seeking school. Let me just make sure I mention this. We're seeking schools to evaluate this new version. And any schools around want to participate. Middle schools, this is for. Starting in January, we're doing a nationwide evaluation of the game. And we'd love to get as many as we can involved.
Have you talked to any Ann Arbor schools, Dr. Midgley?
We did the pilot test in the middle schools in Ann Arbor last year. And we hope to have them on board this year. We're talking to some students and then the schools in Ypsilanti now. We're hoping to get into some of the Detroit schools and so forth.
Now, this seems to do two things. It's called Drug Scene Investigators, DSI, correct?
DSI.
Library-based online game.
That's right.
It does two things, and it teaches you how to do this evidence-based reasoning, but also they're learning about these drugs of abuse, right?
Yeah, we think it's a new type of game. And instead of having a shoot-up type game that's so typical and has some educational features, we're putting education first and foremost and yet making a game out of it. So we have a library, a serious library. And so they go to these books in the library and they touch the book and the book slides out and opens up.
Online now, right?
Online. Okay. This is delivered through the web.
Right.
And then they run their cursor down the page, sentences will highlight. And if they think that sentence is something they want to collect information on, they click it. And all of a sudden, in a little notebook, they have collected a summary, and we're teaching them to, therefore, to summarize a note from that library. And so kids love doing this. But they do the same thing. There's a puzzle. It's a story, and it's a puzzle that a drug caused some problem. And so they go through and they take notes from what they think what drug might have been responsible for this kid falling off the roof or almost drowning or getting into a fight. And so they have to discern what drug it is. So they collect these notes, go back to the library and look through the types of drugs and the individual drugs and the science behind the drugs
to
see which fits.
What's happening.
Deduce what is going on. And then they go from there to look at a scene and they collect clues from a scene. They interview a number of different witnesses, ask questions of the witnesses, collect notes again. They then go into a laboratory experiment or two and collect more notes, and they gradually wean themselves down, narrow down the possibilities, and we lead them through a Socratic process, particularly at the end, into concluding. In addition, we provide a lot of feedback, so we ask them questions occasionally, and no matter what answer they give us, we give them an explanation as to why that was or was not a right or a wrong answer.
How are you able to do that?
It just pops up. They pick an answer, and we, boom, there is the reason why that was or wasn't a good choice. And
all
kids
right.
love. In fact, kids learn as much or more. They say, and I think it's true, from selecting the wrong answer as they do from collecting selecting the right answer.
Right, right. This reminds me a little bit of Clue, the game Clue. It reminds me of CSI, the very popular television show that we can't seem to get enough of. And the fact that, you know, this idea that you're reading through something and then you're making selections and it goes into notes, and we don't teach our kids how to do that get to college and need to do it.
Yeah. We're trying to teach note taking. You don't have to write everything down when you're taking notes.
Right.
You pick the key words and write those down.
Right.
And then we provide opportunities to delete the note or to move a note up or down to organize that information. Mm-hmm. And then when they get that organized, we have a little panel called note linking. And the note linking has two sides. One side is where the information, the notes from the library go, and the other side is the notes from their observations, from the story and the witnesses and so forth. Those are different kinds of information. The library information is assumed to be what you might call facts, or at least what we think are facts right now, is the current information. On the other side is something the student has observed. Now we ask them to line these up and link them. And so when they make a linkage, they also make a decision as to whether that linkage is or is not something that supports the drug as being responsible for that case. And we change the color as red or green and so forth. And they make decisions and get immediate feedback. And so they accumulate this information and begin to see how you could analyze any difficult situation by doing a similar kind of process. That's what we're doing.
Dr. Reese Midgley with In-Depth Learning. And this is available online for people to check out. Drug Scene Investigators. How can they find out more info?
Yeah, they get information on it probably by pointing their browser to DSI Home, DSIHome.org. And that'll get them there, DSIHome.org.
Okay, and the DSI as in Drug Scene Investigators.
Drug Scene Investigators, what it stands for.
DSIHome.org. And by the way, your company website is indepthlearning.org.
That's true.
And it has lots of great
And there are links from there also and talking about what has happened. In fact, our website on DSIHome.org, which is pointed to by the other site, we'll give information on we got from our pilot evaluation in the Ann Arbor Public Schools, and actually a school in Hawaii did some of the work on this, and some in Lexington, Kentucky. And we're hoping for a much, much bigger evaluation coming in January.
Why are we not doing this throughout our school system? Let's talk a little bit about the state of education today.
The you know, what we are doing, it's unique. I don't know of anybody else who's quite tried this, and I'm not sure why, but I know one of the reasons is that it takes a lot of money. I mean, we got a grant from the National Institutes of Health. It's $1 million we put into this, working on it now for 3 years for this one game. Now, there's multiple cases in the game. Nonetheless, that's a big expenditure. We believe, however, that the value of education is so great that this is the kind of place that at innovation and reform in education should be occurring and doing things very differently, not just more of the same boxed schools, desks lined up, reform education that is, it is essentially teaching our kids in a factory environment for tasks and jobs that no longer exist. School was set up initially many, many years ago to meet the needs of a developing country, to provide people who were workers on factories and workers on farms, and they had certain skills they had to learn. And yet that same format is being forced on our kids today.
Isn't
there some
redeeming value to that format, though, in a sense of giving you some context of how to behave in society, how to fit in, there's a lot to be said, I guess, for being industrious and for having to, you know, do these kinds of memorization? Is there nothing you can take away from that?
Oh, absolutely. We need to teach these skills and teaching our kids to be moral, upright citizens and learn about the history of our country. And there's an enormous amount has to be taught. Mm-hmm. But there's also a need for making our country gain in ways that we can't, because everything we've talked about on that one side can be done in any country in the world and is. And we're seeing our jobs go abroad where it can be done cheaper. And so our potential as a nation is going to grow not from doing more of the same, but teaching our kids to think in creative ways that takes them in new directions, comes up with new ideas. Right. And you can teach creativity. You can actually do that.
And that's exactly what's needed here in the state of Michigan with the changeover from the manufacturing sector to we're trying to come up with how do we keep the talent here? How do we keep these kids here after they graduate from the University of Michigan? What can we provide them in amenities and jobs? But that creative thinking plays into this.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to not only foster the idea of creative thinking and learning in new ways, but you also have to foster ways to keep those talented kids here.
Yeah.
And so often what we see is they go abroad. I remember when I was at the University of Michigan for so many years, I always was so sorry that the people who were Nobel laureates started at Michigan then wound up going elsewhere. We got to find a way to keep this talent in Michigan, and that's going to be our strength down the road.
And Ann Arbor is the jewel, I think, in the state of Michigan in doing that. Think about it, look at some of the businesses that have come up, the entrepreneurial spirit that is here, and they're looking for that kind of talent to come in, right?
No, that's absolutely right. No, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. Dr. Reese Midgley from In Depth Learning, live on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show, as we talk about his concept of educating our children and the state of education in the U.S. You call this a mismatch between what is taught and what is actually needed. Are we ever going to get to the point where this is the way it can be in schools?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, there certainly is an embracing of the idea of games as a new idea. And I'm not saying it's just games. There are a lot of ways that the online experience can do things that a given teacher in a room has difficulty doing. For example, if there are 20 students in a class, each one comes as a diverse person, and they have different ideas, different experiences, different abilities, different needs. And so they have different problems. And the teacher can do the best he or she can by going around and working with each child. But what a properly developed online educational experience can do is to deal with each person individually and creatively and uniquely. And so if a person has a problem, they can look up the answer. They can get some help or learn why that was the wrong answer, as we're doing in our little game. And so I'm hoping that we see a lot more of this, but it's going to mean changing our priorities and doing things differently. I suspect that we're no longer going to necessarily need to have the same way to educate kids that we've always had. Part of it is predicated on the need for providing a chance for parents to do other things, so they send their kids off to school. But reality is that an awful lot of this could be done in other kinds of situations, whether it's church groups or community groups or after-school programs. There's no reason in the world why education can't be extended into all sorts of arenas, including ones that are involved with entertainment.
Dr. Midgley, are homeschooled children maybe able to embrace this a bit better, or are those parents and others who are homeschooling their kids have to do it within the constraints of what the schools want anyway.
No, I think the homeschooling is a great area for expansion into this area, and it's one that we've talked about. It's hard to market something to get schools to understand that this is available.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to work through a school or a school district than it is to work through individuals. But clearly this can be done in homes and will down the road, I am sure.
And for more
the problem with homes is that there's a lot to be said. You've addressed it earlier, but there's a lot to be said on social interactions and learning how to deal with this world. And,
right.
And that occurs often better in a community-type environment.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we have to rethink what schools are all about.
For more information, dsihome.org, to see what this online game is like that helps kids do this evidence-based reasoning that Dr. Midgley is such a proponent of, and also his website, indepthlearning.org. Your company, how many people are in it? How is it set up?
It's just 7 people right now. Some of these are part-time.
Have a business partner, right?
I have a business partner, Lewis Kleinsmith. He's been with me for a number of years. Lewis, at 1 year time, won the award from the university, the Henry Russell Award, as the university's best teacher. So we have some real strength in that area. But everyone in the company right now is outstanding. We have a chief technologist, Paul Howell, and a flash program developer, Brian Hunneke, who are involved with developing a lot of the creative artwork and the animations that go on that support this and draw and gain students' interest. A woman named Kelly Lee, who has been involved with behavioral motivational issues, and particularly in drugs, but also many other areas. And she also has a background in art and creative design. So these are some of the key people that have been behind the company, and we've been adding more ever since. We're starting to get people into marketing and into writing and other support areas. It's a small company.
The projects developed by In-Depth Learning have been made possible by financial support from the National Institutes of Health, as you pointed out, the U.S. Department of Education's Fund for the Improvement of Postsecondary Education, and the University of Michigan. Do you see this being taken in a private venture ultimately, or will it always stay in this construct?
My guess is that to get this out to schools, you need to do something other than just say it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually means a serious marketing effort, and that means probably having a for-profit component. We actually have a second company called Not a Book. Not a book, it's all one word,
mm-hmm.
but Not a Book. And it may be a marketing arm for us to help to do this part. I'm not totally sure. Not a Book was formed initially because it could provide an opportunity to raise grants that are called Small Business Innovative Research Grants. And so it has received a few grants in a similar area, developing similar games. And so some of our support goes there and some of it goes over to In-Depth Learning, but it's still the same people.
Dr. Midgley, your passion, your enthusiasm for education in our country is laudable. Here you are, retired from the University of Michigan. And as you said at the start, you're working harder than ever.
Oh, it's amazing.
What drives you?
It's such fun.
What drives you?
What drives me? I don't know. Enthusiasm. I just love doing things and love doing things that I think are important. They're going to make a difference. And making a difference is everyone likes to make a difference. In fact, I just wrote a blog on this as an outfit an organization, the Detroit Department of Health, and has developed a website called Keep Pushing, and keeppushing.org, P-U-S-H-I-N, not a G, keeppushing, one word, .org. Just developed a website, and they had their big launch yesterday. And so I was there, and I was asked to write a blog for it. So I've started a blog series, and it's called Making a Difference. And
mm-hmm.
so I really think that too many people go through life and are disappointed with themselves because they've never made a difference, and yet everybody can make a difference the same way as you're making a difference today and you're running this program.
Thank you. Well, when we have great guests like this, it's easy to do. And I think about those children out there who opt out of school at an early age, think they can make their way doing something else. You wonder if they were fully engaged in school through the mechanisms that you've been talking about. what they could really do.
Oh, kids can be excited by school. School can be a wonderful place. They're discovering information. They're not being put down. They're being built up. They contribute what they know how to do, and they learn from others who know how to do other things. And so if it can be done in a cooperative, positive way, schools could be a phenomenal place to be. Testing, however, is killing it because they have to meet certain standards and certain volumes of information that have to be taught. And yet I'm convinced that most of this material will be learned when you need to learn it by using the web and using texting and using a Facebook or asking questions or reading, or particularly reading, making reading something wonderful. And that's what's amazing. Our game is really about reading and studying.
Right,
and,
right.
And it's reading and studying, and yet kids love doing it because it's provided in a format that their view is interactive and personalized.
And, you know, the fact that we can get so many facts and information on the web the way we can. The thing that we don't teach our kids is, all right, you know where to search for this information, but how do you know what the truth is in all of this? Are you making the correct reasoning in what you're gleaning from sites, right?
Yeah, when we ask, when we're hoping we kids will learn this way, they go in and take their notes. A lot of these notes that are available to take are of no value. And so they get those notes and they look at those and they realize that there's nothing to link with between what's known in the library versus what I collected, and they start to realize what is more important.
Right.
And the same thing even in the library. There's a lot of stuff in the library that's just text to read. But there's some that gives you real important information that is worth taking a meaningful note. So we're hoping that at learning this and then just getting kids to read more widely. And the more that one reads, the more one learns, the more one gains insights. And then you add to that the idea of critical thinking. You can start making a difference in deciding what is and is not important.
Online games don't have to be all fun and no substance. Drug Scene Investigators is a library-based online game designed by teachers and substance abuse experts for use in middle school health and science classrooms. And you can check it out online at dsihome.org. They learn cooperative learning. They learn formative feedback they get on this. How to observe, how to inquire, how to research, how to analyze. But it's all done in a fun context.
Right. We even include a little area where students can chat with one another. They text edit. They text send text messages to each other. And they don't know who they're sending them to at first. They learn. They yell across the room, who's so-and-so? Well, we give them fake names. But they come in and we assemble little teams. And the idea is your team needs to do well. And so you want to help your team and the team wants to help you. And so there's, I don't understand this. And some team kid will text back, well, this is where I found it. And so that's not a good observation. So we got the idea of cooperative learning built into the game as well.
InDepthLearning.org, his website, Dr. Reese Midgley. I started out by talking about the fact that we have funding problems in our schools here, particularly in the state of Michigan. And when you talk about something new like this, not only does it change the whole concept of how to teach children right now, which, you know, is an issue in and of itself, how do you pay for something like this when they already are struggling just to keep the core courses in?
I don't know how you're going to pay for everything. Obviously, we can't do everything. But doing it the way we are now is extraordinarily expensive. And so what is true about a well-designed and well-developed online program is that it is extensible. It can be delivered to huge millions of kids at very, very low cost. So the delivery and reutilization of this cuts the cost down. Over time, the cost will go down as a result of this. But the most important thing is our kids will learn. That's worth an incredible amount. A smarter, more intelligent community will look at issues, make better decisions on all of the issues we're faced today, like our economy or the green movement or foreign policy, what's going on in Afghanistan and why we are liked and disliked in different places in the world. There's so much to understand, and that has to come from education and learning. And so in the long run, is that expensive? Well, sure, it's going to cost some money, but it pales into insignificance compared to the cost of running a war. The cost of every one troop that goes over to Afghanistan is $1 million per year. I mean, that's just a huge cost. And the war costs we just accept somehow as if, and yet I'm not sure what we're gaining from it. And so we have to balance all these. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be there. That's not the point. But we need an informed electorate, and that electorate, to be informed, has to be well-educated, and I'm hoping we can come up with some better ways to make education improved in our country.
Dr. Reese Midgley, a fascinating look into the state of education today. His company, based here in Ann Arbor on North Ashley, called In-Depth Learning. This is a nonprofit. Go online to indepthlearning.org, and also check out the online game Drug Scene Investigators at dsihome.org. Are there more games coming up?
Yeah, we've got. There's one built on this one called Drug Scene Investigative Science, which is going to include some. We're well into it right now, but includes some very nice animations that explain complicated topics like high performance liquid chromatography, or mass spectrometry, or the underlying reasons and mechanisms for why a drug test will work, enzyme-linked immunoassays, or how the eyes send images back to the brain and the neural pathways, and how the pupils change on both sides if light goes into one. So we have a lot of science in this one. But the one that's got me most excited is a new one coming out called Me, a Doc. And this is going to be a game in which kids will play the role of a doctor. A patient will walk in and will have some problem. They'll take a history, and they'll ask the patient to go next door and get ready for an examination. They'll rush to their library, similar kind of libraries we have in DSI, and they'll open their books up on symptoms, and they'll rush through the symptoms and see what might be. Then they'll go from there over to the diagnoses and see what those might be, and then they'll see what they should do for getting more information. Then they'll go in and interview the patient and diagnose, examine the patient,
all online,
examine the patient. And then they will come back and have to prescribe some treatment, and they will have costs of each treatment will be there, and the person who comes out ahead will be the one who can make the fastest diagnosis in the shortest time at the lowest cost and do it correctly.
And having fun doing it.
Oh, having fun doing it and learning a lot about biology and science and medicine.
Wow.
And making decisions, thinking critically.
I love talking with you. This is great. I can't believe I've never heard of you before. I can't.
Hiding away in our little company.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you're getting out and talking to people about it.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, perhaps
I really
you're on the verge
this.
Of something big here. And
I think so.
The real key is convincing our educators that this is needed, that this is necessary.
We've got to do something different.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dr. Reese Midgley, I wish you well in the future with your company, In-Depth Learning. You can go online to indepthlearning.org and the game again at dsihome.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lucy Ann. Really appreciate this.
Dr. Reese Midgley, you're listening to the Lucy Ann Lantz Show on Business Talk 1290 WLBY.